Greetings, my peeps, and welcome to the All Things Basketball Podcast with your boy GD. In this episode, I will be doing my Olympic recap, guys. We'll go through the men's and all that happened there. And then, of course, the ladies, both of them winning gold, by the way. So we'll chronicle everything. And then, of course, you know, I got a few choice words for a few folks out there. So you know how I do it. So just sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Okay, guys, it's your boy GD back with All Things Basketball with GD Podcast. And guys, it's in the books. Everything's done. All the medals have been given out. And both the men and the women for Team USA finish with gold. So big congratulations there. So we'll just go through each of the teams and all the games and so forth. So let us begin with the men, Team USA. So, of course, they was coached by Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr at the helm, guys. Guys, you know I had disparaging things to say about Steve Kerr during the World Cup games. I can't say nothing too much in that regard, but let's just go through all the games and then I'll give my little analysis along the way. So, Team USA, the men start. They start by beating Serbia 110-84. And in that game, they were led by Kevin Durant, who actually had played for the first time, guys. He didn't play in any of the friendlies. They held him out. But he did play in the very first game in the Olympics. And boy, did he play, guys. 23 points for KD. And that was coming off the bench. Then you had LeBron James with 21 points, 9 assists, 7 rebounds. Then you had starter Drew Holiday, 15 points for him, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals. Devin Booker added 12 points. And then you got contributions from guys like Anthony Edwards with 11, and also Steph Curry, he had 11. And then on the losing side for Serbia, Nikola Jokic, the Joker, 20 points for him, 8 assists, 5 rebounds, and 4 steals for the Joker. Bogdan Bogdanovic, 14 points with 6 rebounds. And in that game, guys, the big controversy was the DMPs in this game. You had a DMP for Tyrese Haliburton, and then you had one for Jason Tatum. And then, of course, that made news coming back to the States here. Of course, everybody blasted Steve Kerr for leaving Tatum on the bench. Of course, Tatum, a world champion now with the Celtics. So, of course, everyone was saying, how could you not play him in the game? I'm sure you could have used him and gave him some minutes. And even Steve Kerr lamented it after the game as well. And then he promised that he would do better in that regard. So there was that. But, of course, you had everybody blasting them from your Stephen A. Smiths to your Chris Broussards to your Rob Parkers. Yeah, a myriad of people. But, nonetheless, let us move on. Then they play South Sudan, a South Sudan team that played them very tough in the friendlies. But USA was able to prevail 103-86. And that game, they were led by Bam Adebayo. Coming off the bench, he had 18 points with 7 rebounds, 2 blocks. Kevin Durant, again, a nice performance for him 14 points, 3 assists, 3 steals. Anthony Edwards, 13 points with 3 steals. And then LeBron James, doing LeBron James things, 12 points, 7 rebounds, and 5 assists for him. And on the losing side, it was Nuni Amat with 24 points, and then Kareem Jones, 18 points and 7 assists. And then in this game, yes, Jason Tatum did play, guys, in this game. In fact, he started in this game while you had a DMP for Joel Embiid, which was kind of surprising, but Joel Embiid did not play in this game. Everyone else did. So, again, of course, you're going to have rumblings about Steve Kerr. How's he not playing Embiid? And then, of course, Steve Kerr says it's according to matchups, so on and so forth. South Sudan, a quicker team, so he wanted quicker guys in there. But the result, Team USA winning. Then we go to the third game, and they play Puerto Rico. Beat them 104-83. In that game, Anthony Edwards off the bench exploded, guys. 26 points. He could have had more points, guys. That's how hot he was. With 3 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals. Joel Embiid back in the game, back starting as well. 15 points, 3 rebounds, 2 blocks. Kevin Durant with 11 points, 3 rebounds. Jason Tatum with a double-double, 10 points and 10 rebounds. And then you had the combination of LeBron and AD scoring 10 apiece. Along with LeBron's 10, he had 8 assists with 6 rebounds. Anthony Davis, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, and 2 block shots off the bench, guys. And then in a losing effort, Jose Alvarado, of course, we know him as Grand Theft Alvarado, 18 points for him with 3 assists. And then Ismael Romero has a double-double, 12 points with 10 rebounds and 3 assists for him. So Team USA gets through the first round undefeated. So next, they enter the quarterfinals, where they play Brazil. And they beat the brakes off of Brazil in the quarterfinals, 122-87, in a game where everyone played, guys, so there was no worry of a DMP. And, oh, by the way, in the game against Puerto Rico, Drew Holiday did not play in that game. So Brazil, like I said, everyone played. They were led by Devin Booker, who had 18 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists. Anthony Edwards continuing his hot play, 17 points for him with 5 rebounds. Joel Embiid, he had 14 points and 7 rebounds. Bam off the bench, 13 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals. And then LeBron James filling up the stat sheet, guys. 12 points, 9 assists, 3 rebounds, and 3 steals as well. And then on the losing side, Bruno Caboccio, 30 points for him with 6 rebounds, guys. So in the quarterfinals, Team USA moves on. And then they have a rematch, guys, against Serbia in the semifinals. And a lot of the build-up to that game was Steve Kerr was kind of nervous about this game. You're facing a team for the second time. And he seemed convinced that what he saw in the first game, he won't see in that second game. And it seems like it came to fruition, in fact. In that second game against Serbia, Team USA had a tough time, guys. At one point, they were down by 17 points in this game. That's how tough it was. But in the end, Team USA prevails, winning this by a slim margin, guys, 95-91. In this game, another DMP for Jason Tatum. And then also you had a do not play for Tyrese Haliburton. But in this game, Steph, who was pretty quiet up to this point, absolutely exploded, guys. 36 points on with 9 3-pointers. Good gracious. Whew, man. And he had 8 rebounds as well. So Steph goes absolutely nuclear, guys. That's how good he was in this game. Adding to that, Joel Embiid, 19 points with 4 rebounds. So in his head-to-head matchup with the Joker, that's what he put down. And then also LeBron James had a triple-double, guys. 16 points, 12 rebounds, and 10 assists for LeBron. And then on the losing side, Bogdan Bogdanovic has a nice game again. 20 points, 4 rebounds, and 3 assists. And the Joker with 17 points, 11 assists for him, and 5 rebounds, guys. But again, Team USA rallied back in this one and was able to overcome, guys. It was touch and go, guys, but in the end, Team USA prevails, and they entered the gold medal game for the final game of the men's side. And their opponent was France, guys. France, they did some shocking stuff, guys. They beat a team like Team Canada. Team Canada was absolutely a disappointment in this tournament, guys. They were a disappointment, guys. They didn't even medal. That's how bad Team Canada was in this. Everybody was worried about Team Canada. Oh, you know, they're amongst the top teams, but it didn't come to fruition, guys. Team Germany, another one that everybody was worried about. France seemed to take care of business and made it to the finals. So the U.S. ends up playing France in that final game. In a game that was close, but in the end, too much Steph Curry, guys. His hot play continued. And they end up winning 98-87. Down the stretch, a couple of Steph Curry threes really iced the game for Team USA. He finishes with 24 points. In this game, he has 8 3-point goals, guys. So absolutely heating up at the right time. And add to that 5 assists with 2 steals. Kevin Durant, who was in the starting lineup, guys, 15 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists. And then LeBron James, who was starting throughout the whole tournament here, 14 points, 10 assists, 6 rebounds, and 2 steals. And some nice play from Devin Booker, who was solid throughout these tournaments as well. He finishes with 15 points, 6 rebounds, and 3 assists. On the losing side for France, Victor Wembanyama, guys. 26 points with 7 rebounds, guys. And then you have Gershon Yabusele, 20 points and 2 steals for him. And as far as DMPs for this game, again, Tyrese Haliburton and also Derek White did not see action in this game, guys. So in the end, Team USA prevails, and they move on to win the gold. So Steve Kerr, he's off the hook. You know, guys, I was hard on Steve Kerr once again, I mentioned earlier. But he ends up bringing home the gold, so how can I knock the guy? You want to go after him for not playing Tatum in two games? Okay. But I think the bigger the bigger thing is Tyrese Haliburton. He only played in three of these six games, guys. So he was the one who really has a beef in all of this. And he even tweeted that, you know, basically when you're part of a class participation project and everybody gets an A, kind of making fun of him not playing as much in this series. Well, in this tournament. But Tyrese Haliburton not playing in three of these games, guys. That's pretty stunning. And then you have guys like Embiid that missed the game. Drew Holiday missed the game. Derek White. But I think in the end, the goal is the gold medal. So, you know, you want to beat up on Steve Kerr. He got the team to get the gold medal. That's the bottom line at the end of the day. So, but I tell you this, first of all, this will probably be the last time we see LeBron James, Kevin Durant, and Steph Curry on the international stage. I think it's the last time. So is this gold medal is kind of bittersweet because you're not going to see these guys in that type of play again. I'd be stunned if any one of those three are in the next Olympics, which will actually be in Los Angeles in 2028. But I will say this. I think Steve Kerr, I don't think he comes back to coach internationally. I don't think so. I don't think it may seem like I'm going out on a limb with this, but I don't think he comes back. I think the scrutiny that he received for not playing guys like Tatum, I think that's going to be enough for him to say, you know what? I did my time. Thanks, Team USA, for the opportunity, but I'm declining from here on in. And if you do that, then, of course, the next logical question is, who do you get to coach Team USA in the future? Again, I had mentioned him, Eric Spoelstra. I think he's somebody who would excel in international play as far as coaching goes. He's somebody I would keep an eye on. Mike Malone is another possibility in my eyes. Outside of that, Popovich did his time. I would say to me, those are the two leaders in the clubhouse. If Steve Kerr were to say, thanks for the memories, but I'm out of here. So there's that. And then also too, in 2028, you're probably going to have to fill the roster as far as LeBron, Steph Curry, and Kevin Durant. Who would that be? I think it's too early to say. But I don't think Joel Embiid comes back. I'd be stunned if he comes back. So you're talking about possibly four roster spots you'll have to fill. So I think it could get interesting. I don't know what we're going to do in terms of big men, guys. Does Anthony Davis come back again in 2028? Possibly so, but I don't, right now, the state of big men in the USA, it's not all that promising, guys. So I think this Olympic is probably the last one where we have a clear advantage. I think in 2028, I think it's any country's gold medal to get. I think Germany will be back strong. I think Canada will learn from their mistakes in this one. I think they'll be back strong. France, I think France is a country on the come up when it comes to international play. I think they'll be around. Serbia, I imagine Joker will be back again. What you put around him, we'll see. But Yeah, so I think Team USA has a tough time in Los Angeles come 2028. That's what I'm saying early on. So we'll see. But Team USA prevails. Now let us move on to the women. The women, Team USA, coached by Cheryl Reeve. And here's how they started. They started their first game beating Japan 102-76 in a game where you had some idiot fan with a sign, where's Caitlin Clark? Like, you're better off with her or whatever that idiot said. But I'll get to the Caitlin stuff later. But nonetheless, they handily beat Japan. In this game, Asia Wilson, Asia just doing Asia things, guys. 24 points, 13 rebounds, 4 assists, 4 block shots. Brianna Stewart, 22 points for her, 8 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 blocks. So the interior is on lockdown with those two ladies there. Then you had a combination of Brittany Griner, Sabrina Ionescu, and Kelsey Plum coming off your bench, giving you 11 points each, guys. And something to keep in the back of your mind as we speak on, Chelsea Gray and Diana Taurasi, both of them starting, guys. They combine to score 4 points on 2 of 7 shooting, 0 of 4 from 3, guys. Chelsea Gray does give you 13 assists in this game, so you have that. But that's something to bear watching as we continue to discuss. And then on the losing side for Japan, Maki Takada, who we saw her in the World Cup have a nice run there, 24 points in this game. Mei Yamamoto, 17 points for her, with 5 assists and 3 rebounds. So the women take game 1. Then we move on to game 2. Team USA, the women, they go on to beat Belgium 87-74. In a game, guys, where it was tied after the first quarter. But the second quarter, Team USA kind of takes over, and then from there on in, they kind of handle business. Brianna Stewart, 26 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 blocks. Asia, once again, doing what Asia does, 23 points, 13 rebounds, 3 steals. And then your backcourt in this game, Chelsea Gray and Diana Taurasi, you're starting backcourt. 0 points, guys, on 0-5 shooting and then 0-3 from three-point range. Yeah, when your backcourt is underperforming, that makes it tough, guys. And then also in this game, a do not play for Kalia Copper. She didn't see any playing time in this game, surprisingly so. But Team USA prevails. And then on the losing side, Emma Mieseman, 24 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 blocks. Antonia Delari, she had 16 points, 8 assists, 5 rebounds, and 3 steals. Emma Mieseman, I think, guys, coming out of this tournament, I think teams should be lining up to try and sign her. If I were the LA Sparks, I would definitely try and reach out to her. You need some big help. She's a big with very high IQ guy. She could pass out of the post. She's somebody, I think, if you add her with De'Erica Hamby, with up-and-coming Rekia Jackson, I think that can help your ball club. Emma Mieseman. Remember that name, guys. Maybe she latches on to somebody down the stretch. So again, the women beat Belgium. Then in the third game, one that I saw, Team USA beats Germany 87-68. And in this game, again, you get subpar play from your two starters in Chelsea Gray and Diana Taurasi. Again, they go scoreless, all four from the field. And the only three-point shot taken, they miss. But off your bench, Jackie Young saves the day, 19 points, four rebounds, four steals. I mean, she played tremendous in that game. Aja Wilson, just 14 points, three rebounds, three steals, two blocks. And Stewie, 13 points for her with three rebounds. On the losing side, Sato Sabali. She looks like she's all the way back from that shoulder injury, guys. 15 points, but it was a tough 15 points she had to score, guys. Team USA did not give her any breaks. And she had five rebounds, two steals. Alexis Peterson, 14 points, four assists. And how about Leonie Fibich? 10 points, guys, but she did get hurt in this game, like in the third quarter. Didn't see any time in the fourth. But she looked like she was about to cook Team USA, man. I see her during the season as a avid New York Liberty fan watching the game. But, I mean, in these tournaments here, she really played well. And it's unfortunate she had the injury there. Otherwise, she was about to heat up. I mean, she was playing well. So we'll see how she looks in the second half for the New York Liberty. But they got them some player in Fibich. But Germany, they take the loss to Team USA 87-68. Thus, Team USA moving on to the quarterfinals. And in the quarterfinals, their first opponent, Nigeria, guys. Nigeria, who had themselves a nice little run in these tournaments as well. And in this game, Cheryl Reeve, she said, you know what? I gotta change things up. I cannot start the game because, in fact, in that Germany game, they were down after the first quarter in that game. And Cheryl Reeve said, I can't operate from a deficit with these two starting in my backcourt. So she replaces Diana Taurasi with Jackie Young. And that paid dividends, guys. They would go on to beat Nigeria 88-74 in the quarterfinals. Aja Wilson, 20 points for her, 11 rebounds, two blocks. Jackie Young, again, starting 15 points with three rebounds. Breonna Stewart, 13 points, five rebounds, three assists, two blocks. Brittany Griner coming off the bench, 11 points with three rebounds, guys. And then on the losing side, Promise Amukamara, 19 points with three steals. And then Amy Okongwu, 17 points and seven rebounds in that game. So Team USA operating in a better space there ends up prevailing against Nigeria. And then, of course, the play at the end where Kalia Copper throws the ball at the other player over there, kind of getting frustrated in the game and so forth, was mad that she tried to score with the game well in hand. So little tempers flare in that one. No big deal, although some people were trying to make it so. So, again, Team USA prevails. On to the semifinals where they face Australia. In that game, I thought would be a tough one for them, guys. Australia has more than half of their team are WNBA players, so I thought they would have a tough go of it. But not so, guys. 85 to 64, the final there. Breonna Stewart leads the way, 16 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists. Jackie Young, still starting, guys, 14 points, 5 assists, 2 steals. Kalia Copper, guys, coming off that bench, 11 points, 6 rebounds, and 3 assists. And then Aja Wilson, kind of a slow game for her, just 10 points, 8 rebounds, 4 blocks, though, with 2 steals, guys. So Team USA prevails in this one. And on the losing side, they really held that starting 5 for Australia at bay. It was Isabel Borlase coming off the bench for them, 11 points. So that would lead them to the finals, guys, where they would face France. And this one just played this morning, and I was able to watch it from pillar to post, guys. This was a tough one. This was a tough one to watch, I tell you that. It was a absolute physical war, guys. At one time in this game, Team USA was down double digits, guys. That's how rough this game was. They were tied at the half with France. And for all intents and purposes, guys, things were looking bleak for Team USA. In fact, this is probably the worst game I've seen them play as far as international play goes. I'm not talking about the exhibition where they play Team WNBA. That's a whole different deal, guys. So, but as far as international play goes, it's probably the worst game I've seen them play. Yet, in the end, they end up prevailing 67 to 66, where it almost went into overtime, guys. Gabby Williams for France hits a shot at the end, but as you look, she was stepping on the line. So if she was behind the line, then we're talking overtime, guys. But she was on the line, on the three-point line, so that counted as 2. So they end up winning this game. In a game, guys, where you have DMPs for Diana Taurasi, she didn't see any playing time. And surprisingly, Jewel Lloyd, she didn't play in the final game as well. Your backcourt really struggled, guys. Jackie Young, she actually fouled out in this game. And Chelsea Gray, they combined for just 2 points, guys. One of eight from the field. 0 for 1 from 3-point range. So it seems like a common theme here. When you get subpar guard play, it kind of puts you behind the 8-ball a little bit. And it did in this game. Aja Wilson, who I know these stats look great, but she had a tough time, especially in that first half. But she seemed to turn around in the second. 21 points, 13 rebounds, 4 steals, 3 blocks, including a tremendous block she had late in this, well, kind of in the third quarter, I believe, yeah. But Aja Wilson, sensational in the second half. Then you get contributions from Kelsey Plum coming off your bench and Kalia Copper, guys. I mean, she absolutely saved the day for Team USA. Her play in the fourth quarter absolutely sealed the deal, guys. Gabby Williams, I talked about her. 19 points, 7 rebounds. 6 of those were offensive, guys. She was in there looking like Angel Reese on the offensive glass. And she had 3 steals as well. Maureen Johannes, who actually took the year off to prepare with the France team, 9 points, 3 of 13 shooting, 1 of 8 from 3. But I tell you what, this is a player you have to watch closely, because when she explodes, that's it. and seemed like they were playing her tough. They put a few different people on her. Sabrina Ionescu even had to guard her former teammate there. So, but like I said, in the end, Team USA gets the win, which makes it 61 straight wins for them, guys. They have not lost in Olympic play since 1992. So you're talking 32 years, guys, since they last lost the game. That's a lot of people's lifetimes right there, I tell you. But Team USA gets it done, guys. Their eighth straight medal. So props to the select committee for assembling this squad. Again, you know me. Of course, you got the people saying, oh, Caitlin should have been there. Caitlin should have been there. Here's what I say. First of all, I say you could care less about Caitlin Clark. You have no regard for the lady whatsoever. She's been playing basketball since last October. She's finally getting a break. I talked about it in my last episode when I was talking about the All-Star game. She's finally getting a break, guys. She's been going at it since last October for her Iowa team. And then, of course, they go late into the NCAA tournaments all the way to the final game. So she's been at it since October, going into the first week of April, playing ball. Then she has the draft. Then she has training camp. Then she has the preseason in the WNBA. Then she has the actual season, and you know the tough schedule she had. And then coming into the close of it, she has the All-Star weekend, where she has to participate in that as well. So we're talking about not only the basketball on the court stuff, off the court stuff as well, all the media obligations and all of that. So she has all that, so she finally gets herself a break. But you guys could care less. You don't care less. You want to see her any which way you slice it. You want her out there and so forth. Even Stephen A. Smith, he had to go on his podcast, and this is what he said. Because the first game between USA and Japan drew 13,000, which they're saying was 8,000 below the average. But here's what he didn't take into account. The venue. They didn't play in the same venue as the men. They played in a different venue. So you had less people in there. But Stephen A., he's not going to give you the minutia for that. He wants to just prove a point. Caitlin, she's good for marketing and this and that, without any context whatsoever. And again, even for him, he could care less about Caitlin Clark, about her physical health, about her mental health. None of that matters. You just want to prove a point, marketing. Just cut it. She's getting herself a break. Now she's fresh and ready for her Indiana Fever team. She can go in there now and make that final push for that playoff spot. Because right now, her and Angel Reese's club, Chicago Sky, they're vying for that those last few spots in the playoffs. So she's doing herself much better. It's much better for her getting the rest that she needs so she's ready and available for our club. And then take this into account. It was a 3 o'clock game, which translates to 9 p.m. in Paris. So you have that dynamic to it as well. So, you know, with the time difference, you got to take all that into account and so forth. But just cut it out. Just cut it out. Because he said both of them should be there, Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese. But the caption, of course, says Caitlin Clark, of course, because he wants the clickbait. He wants the clickbait for that. So, but again, I say they'll have their time. They'll have their opportunity. And, oh, if he was paying attention, these Olympics were absolutely physical contests. In the quarterfinals, the semis, maybe not so much the semis, but the quarterfinal and the final, absolutely physical, guys. The Germany game, physical. The Belgium game, physical. And you're going to tell me you wanted Caitlin Clark to be a part of that with the physicality? They're already complaining about the physicality in the WNBA. International play is worse. So just save it. Just save the nonsense. She'll be there in 2028. Her body will be ready. She'll go through the rigors of the WNBA, the physicality there. But in international play, it's on another level. So, and then to top it all off, she wasn't going to get that much playing time. You saw how Jewel Loy didn't play in that last game. Jewel Loy, who, oh, by the way, she was third in MVP. No, she was fourth in MVP voting last year. Somebody fourth in MVP voting didn't play in this final game here. So could you imagine Caitlin Clark sitting on the bench for most of these games, which would have happened? I know Cheryl Reeves, she probably wasn't going to play her like that. She barely played Sabrina Ionescu. That's a story for another day. But you guys would have been moaning, complaining. So let's just save it. Let's see her be in 2028. More likely she'll be there for all intents and purposes. Angel Reese, possibly Juju Watkins, Paige Beckers. You'll have some new fresh blood in there. So we'll see what happens. Probably Cameron Brink, perhaps, once she comes back from her knee injury and so forth. So, yeah, so you'll probably have some fresh blood coming up. But, again, in the end, USA prevails. That's the mission goal, guys, for Team USA. Get the gold medal. By whatever means, get the gold medal. And that's what they did, guys. So you got to take your hat off to Cheryl Reeve for getting it done. Was I thrilled with a lot of her substitutions and her minute distributions? No, I wasn't. I thought Sabrina Good got some more time. I thought Jewel Loy, what she did to Jewel Loy was absolute disgrace. Jewel Loy should have played more. I tell you what, though, I think two players coming out fired up after these Olympics, the two players I just mentioned. Sabrina Ionescu, I think she starts like a ball of fire for the Liberty team. And Jewel Loy, I know she's going to have a chip on her shoulder after all this. Sure, she's happy to get the gold medal and so forth, but the way she was handled her minutes was absolutely terrible. Absolutely terrible. But I guess I can't complain too much. Again, they did get the gold, so there's that. So Diana Taurasi, she gets her 6 gold medals, the most decorated basketball player internationally in any country. Diana Taurasi now has that title, guys. Some people say, oh, she shouldn't have been there. There should have been somebody else. Her experience goes a long way, guys. And what she was able to do, even in this France game where she didn't play, she talked to her fellow players, kept them engaged and so forth. So that, sometimes that goes a long way. To me, like I said previously, she was like the Jason Kidd on the Redeem team. She was the sage leader in the locker room where other players can go to. She's been through the wars. She's seen and done it all. So having that type of experience goes a long way, even beyond the box score, guys. So Diana Taurasi, she gets gold medal here, her 6. And how about Brittany Griner? She gets a gold medal after all she endured, being in that Russian prison, wrongfully so. Yeah, so of course she was emotional after everything is said and done. I couldn't be more prouder for her getting the gold medal. She even said it. She knows she's going to be emotional about it when it happens. And good for her. I'm glad she was able to attain gold. So Brittany Griner gets the gold medal as well as her teammates. People like Stewie. She has about three now. Asia Wilson, she has multiple. So Team USA, the mission goal is always gold. They got it. And that's the way it goes. So with that said, I think I'm going to cut it off here, guys. I thank you for listening as always. Your listenership is much appreciated. Guys, we're coming up soon on the NBA schedule coming up. So you know me, I'm going to do a breakdown of the schedule. I already heard early rumblings about the Knicks, how on Christmas they're probably going to play the San Antonio Spurs, which I think is kind of, I don't kind of agree with that. I think that's a game that should be somewhere else, not on the on Christmas Day. I think it should be like a rivalry game, like a Boston Celtics perhaps. Perhaps a 76ers, that would have been absolutely must-see TV. Maybe even Indiana. But for it to be a West Coast team like the San Antonio Spurs, I think that's kind of a mistake. But that's if that comes to fruition. That's kind of the early rumblings I heard. So, but I'll break down the schedule, of course. I'll tell you about the national games. I'll tell you about how many games people are playing nationally. Of course, the Knicks. I expect the Knicks to be on nationally more next season than they, even what they had this past season. So should be interesting. Should be interesting. And then, of course, you have the second half of the WNBA season. Teams trying to make it down the stretch, guys. So that should be a compelling watch as well. So some basketball still to be played and things to be decided. So you know me, I'll be around for it. So I have a couple of episodes coming down the pike. But so with that said, let's end it. All things basketball with GD.com. That's the website. Of course, there, all my episodes are there. My support buttons, guys, they're there as well. My Spotify donate button's there. Buy me a coffee button is there. Also, my PayPal. There's a button there for that. Cash App. $GD, that sports dude. Again, for Cash App. $GD, that sports dude. And then email, guys. You can email me. ThatSportsDudeGD@gmail.com. That's the email address. I'll give it to you again. ThatSportsDudeGD@gmail.com. That's how you get me as well. I believe that's on the website as well, guys. All your podcast platforms, I'm there. YouTube, I'm there, guys. Social media, heavy on IG. Heavy on TikTok with the shorts. Facebook, I'm there somewhat. X, I don't even bother with. You know, sometimes I'll throw a video up or what have you. LinkedIn, I'm heavier at LinkedIn than I am at Twitter or X or whatever you want to call it. Elon Musk, I ain't messing with him. So anyhow, so that is it, guys. I thank you for listening as always. Appreciate your listenership as always, and we'll talk soon. Take care.